Welcome back to the Tales of Tech podcast. Today is a special episode, both happy and sad, because we have reached the end. This is the finale episode of Series 2. I don't even know how these series things are going to work in the future, but eventually all of us take a little bit of a break, sometimes with warning, sometimes without warning. This time we're going to give y'all a warning because we got stuff coming up, so we know that there's going to be a good amount of gap between the next series. But I'm joined with our regular crew. How's it going, Nick and Randy?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. More importantly, how is Randy in that sweet, sweet Tesla?
Yes, that is more important.
It is. It's more important than all our lives.
It is. How's it going, Randy?
It's going. It's bittersweet to come back to do a proper send-off. But as is all things, we all have, you know, trips and stuff planned, and it's
big things.
It's a good
happening.
Time to take our season break, because we can come back when we start apple season in the fall time. So this is a good
apple season.
Ooh, I like that.
We're gonna be in the middle of a big lull here, a big like amount of just waiting and burning time until the iPhone 11's
so,
out.
Do you hear the Tesla rumor where the iPhone 11's camera is going to be actually silver instead of black?
Dang it. You want to go right to the cameras?
Yes.
I'm tired of neglecting the Randy Tesla
I know.
Situation.
Yes. Please, Randy. Tell
it's
us
been
about
a month
Tesla.
Now, and we haven't had just the opportunity to sit down and talk about your Model 3 experience. And it's probably good because you've been, I'm hoping, driving it quite a bit now, so you have some more longer term experience, and we are dying to know what you think. So please tell us.
So let's start with the little features, which actually ends up being the overall big feature. I am more impressed by the little conveniences that the vehicle gives me over one, you know, instead of full self-driving or changing lanes or anything else, it just little things such as automatically regulating the internal climate based off of what the temperature is.
Oh, yes.
Walking
out, I'm so excited.
I walk outside and it's already cooled down. I have it set for 70 degrees and it cools my cabin down, and I love that. And a good amount of everything I'm about to list is not exclusive to Tesla, but it's something that when it's all combined, I think Tesla's one of the few that has all of it, and it adds up. So the if you guys remember how you use the blinker and you push down twice to have it actually hold, and then if you push down once, it'll blink three times and then it'll stop. And one thing that I relearned is how to properly use the blinker, because otherwise I'll go left and then I'll try to stop and it'll go right and then go. It starts doing this whole thing. I use my one click blinker for short turning, and that's enough to tell Tesla to switch into the next lane by itself.
Okay.
So I don't really use the blinker. I use the enhanced autopilot all the time. Mm-hmm. Whenever I come to a stoplight and there's a car in front of me, I turn it on, and then it just takes me through the back roads. So you're not supposed to do that, but I do that. And
nice.
I'm slowly forgetting how to drive normally because I've wrapped my mind around conforming to the Tesla.
That's the best part. Oh. Slowly forgetting how to drive.
A little bit. I can't tell you how to put the car in neutral. I do not know. So
I think you do that
on
the screen.
But I'm not going to brag.
No, I don't need neutral anymore. I only like neutral when I get the regenerative braking going on, which I use all the time. The biggest thing that's changed over the last month now is my driving habit as a whole is I'm no longer punching it so I can feel the kick of it for the dual motor.
Yeah, yeah.
It's became a full-fledged competition for myself to how much battery percentage I can save throughout my travel. And because San Diego's very, like, it has a lot of slopes and stuff like that, I definitely use regenerative braking a lot, and I've gotten very good at preserving my battery, and I've never capped it at 100% yet. The max I've ever gone was 90, And the lowest I've ever gone was probably 40. And
oh wow,
yeah, I've established my driving habits with using enhanced autopilot as well as just plugging it in. I don't have my my stronger power source yet. My NEMA 1030 is what I ordered. I haven't received it yet. Which, by the way, quickly, I just want to vent. Ordered this 3 weeks ago, and I have yet to receive it. And they said they shipped it. And Tesla does not have a contact form. I have to reply to the email. Ooh. Reply to the email twice. Tesla, if you're listening, respond back to me. Like, at this point, I feel like I'm about to be out.
They don't give you a tracking?
I have a tracking, and it goes to FedEx, and I call FedEx. Like, where's it at? Like, they haven't shipped it yet. And they said I was supposed to get it within 48 hours, and that was 3 weeks ago. I'm about to be out. The way I see it, I just lost $35 because Tesla's not responding back to me. So that's bad on them. Mm. But, I mean, I don't know. That's really weird. So
the whole car isn't worth it.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
It's definitely go get a Porsche, everyone.
save your money, guys. So I've been using just the regular 110 outlet, and it works fine. There has been no changes in my electric bill. There's been no. Most of my change actually changed because I run the AC because it's hot now. So that's it.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, have you noticed? When using the 110 outlet, because it's something I'm noticing, I don't know about the rest of our listeners, but I basically watch any piece of Tesla content on YouTube. Yeah. I'm just like binging online right now, and I think Nick is doing the same.
It's not just you.
I'm discovering that a ton of people charge with that standard 110 outlet, and it's actually really common to charge that way. So I was going to ask you if you've noticed, like, on cooler days it charging faster than hotter days when it has to control the temperature of the battery more, or even on the hotter days, have you noticed it charging at the same rate?
Hotter days is a little bit slower. The moment I turn off my AC, it's because I'll take it to a tier two charger that's still free, and so instead of one, I get 6 kilowatt volt. You know, that's pushing. I use the app Volta, and that shows me all free apps or all free charging stations in my area. And lifetime too, because it goes off of what's been plugged in or not. So there's one right up the street from my house. So I'll go up there, and if it's right by like a Jersey Mike's, a Starbucks, and an Albertsons or something. So I'll go grocery shopping or something. But yesterday I went up there and to charge, and I sat in my car for an hour, and I was shopping Tesla accessories and stuff like that, and I was just hanging out. Yeah, as one does. And the moment I turn off AC and I just crack the windows, instead of 2 hours until it was like fully charged, it dropped to like 1 hour and 15 minutes. So regulating the cabin has the biggest impact. Basically, AC will have the biggest impact during the summer, and having your heater on will have the biggest impact during the winter. So as long as you just leave that part off, your car will charge essentially quicker. And
basically, if you live in the perfect city of San Diego where you don't have to worry about the weather ever deviating from 70 degrees, this Tesla is for you.
More or less, yeah.
You haven't been to San Diego then, Nick.
Yeah, I have. But yeah.
It gets hot sometimes. And then charging it overnight, I have it set to start charging after 9 p.m., so peak hours are over. And so maybe that's why I haven't seen a change in my electricity bill. But from 9 p.m. to 7 to 8 a.m. so almost 12 hours I get full charge on my vehicle.
Wow.
From 80%.
Was that something
to 70%, yeah.
Was that something the people at Tesla told you, like, to keep it under 80 is best, or does it not matter as long as it's under 90?
Neither. Based off of my own research and based off of my own testing, 90, sure, but I found 80 for me, keeping it between 80 and 50, the battery hasn't changed at all, and I plug it in, it's plugged in right now. It's just not turned on to start charging yet, but I won't let it go above 80 just because the newer batteries that we have, that every Tesla will now have, it's not as applicable as trying to drain it down and recharging it up. These newer batteries are built to actually be more accurate with holding its power, but I found 80 to 50 for me to be the most substantial, like keeping it stable. Anything else, it starts to fluctuate a little bit much, and I think it's just reading it differently. It really does. It does not matter. I just, from everything I read, you don't want to go below 20%, and if you can avoid going to past 90, or even they recommend just for, you know, good wiggle room, 80%, you could be good. I've charged it to 90 a few times, and then that just kept me from plugging it in a couple days. Right now, if I keep it off the charger from 80% down to say 30%, I can get through a whole week, which is basically what it was like for driving a gas vehicle for me. So,
but that's interesting.
You're really working. What you're really working around now is time, and you're working around not just peak hours, but when the air and everything else is cooler. So when you have a kick in at nighttime, for me, I found charges quicker because nothing's hot, so the car is just chilling. Right now, I hear I was washing my car, which is its own new unique way because it's wrapped, but the fan the fan kicks on. Not to cool the internal the cabin, but to cool the battery.
Yeah.
The fan will kick on to cool the battery.
Right,
and
right.
You can't control that.
I remember that when you brought up, I remember that happening when you brought up the Model 3 because you guys came up at a semi-hot time of the year.
Yeah,
it got a little hot. It's California.
Like, wait, did you turn off the car, Randy? I thought you turned off the car. That's fans going.
No, you don't want to do that. And you also, if it's cooling the battery, you don't want to interfere with that because then that's when you can have, you know, Note 7s. So, yeah, the fan will kick on just to cool down the battery, but it's not cooling down the cabin. So I found once it's chilling, no fans going on because I have a carport and I because I park underneath, you know, basically a carport, it stays pretty regulated, but when I have it outside in the sun, the battery kicks on. And worst case scenario, if I leave it alone, I don't do anything with the car for a day, I lose 1%. And that's worst case scenario.
1% in a day?
I thought it'd be like 10%.
No.
Yeah, I thought it'd be way more.
Yeah, 1% in a day. I've noticed when I've, you know, when I work, when I go do government work and stuff like that, I'm parked outside and underneath the sun. And I'm gone for about maybe 10 hours to 11 hours, and it doesn't even drop a percent. But when I leave it just left alone, unplugged in my carport after one day, worst case, I've seen it drop 1%. Most of the time it stays idle. So
I think they've gotten a lot better at that with the standby time, especially with the Model 3. I watched some older videos about the Model S because some people were like, doing the thing where you have a big trip, so you park your car at the airport and then you leave it there for like a good week or longer. And they were measuring, like the Model S would like drop its charge really quickly, even in the shade. It was like it was like a parking structure with a ceiling and everything. And they would come back to it and it had lost like 10-20% over the course of
Can you imagine coming back from like an international trip and having your car like dead in the parking garage?
You had to tow it.
That's
very intimidating.
But the videos I've seen of people doing that same situation with the Model 3, I've seen way less. It's more like what you've been saying, where it's like 1-2%. Of course, the weather's a huge factor, but
This is a great time. I'm actually, the more I think about it, I'm glad I got the vehicle when I did, because I'm testing it through what would be the hardest part of the vehicle's time of year. Right now is the summertime for California. I'm not going to get snow where I'm
exactly.
at. So wintertime is just going to drop to the coldest it'll ever get here is like low 40s. And that's way easier to control a battery than during the blistering heat when we get to three digits and stuff like that. So
I don't speak for all of California, but I'll say that we almost never use the heater in our vehicles. There's very rare times in the year where it's that cold that we need to turn on the heater. Usually just the car's natural heat will be plenty enough as it is.
Yeah. So, well, I can speak for most of Colorado in saying that we use our heaters quite a bit.
I believe it. Yeah, I feel like Tesla's definitely meant for the West Coast, Nevada and West. From the Gigafactory
bad.
West.
I mean,
It's in its perfect, you know, habitat.
It might be. You just. I wonder if using. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I feel like Teslas especially get a bad rap for being like a quote unquote California car, where like, you know, it wasn't designed for Colorado winters, but surprisingly it does like totally fine. Like a bunch of people that I know who have Teslas in Denver, like it's fine. It's just the same as running an air conditioner, especially once you're driving. Once you're driving in the cold weather, it'll actually use the brake heat and the regen braking system heat to actually heat the cabin. And, you know, they have a bunch of tricks, and, you know, it's not awful. So I just
put
to
on
make
the
sure
fireplace
everyone
mode
knew that I know that it's
yeah
creates carbon emissions.
Exactly. I will say the right. Video games in the car, because this last update I got a new video game in it. I actually, when I'm charging my car at his place, I'm playing video games. I'm using the web browser. It's actually faster than I thought it was going to be, just surfing the web and just kind of doing all this stuff. And but mm-hmm. I mostly use it to play video games. And I'm getting better. It's like they have their own little version of Mario Kart, and it's fun. And I'm waiting for it to be compatible, where like when if I'm at a supercharging station with all these other cars, we can play with one another via.
Oh yes,
that would be so
because
cool.
It is multiplayer. I play with a friend in my car. He's in the passenger, so two people can play simultaneously.
Right, right.
He uses the on-screen buttons, and I'll use my steering wheel. But we definitely can play. So if you could play locally on the screen, I'm very, very confident it is possible that we can all play, like, even from different locations. Like, Drew,
totally.
All of us, we all have our cars. We can play at some point.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I can see it.
Yeah, have they added – I remember reading a report that they said they were going to bring YouTube support to the
Not
browser
yet.
So that you could watch YouTube.
Every day.
Okay.
Every day.
Okay, good. Because I think, obviously, when the car is parked, don't freak out, listeners. I'm talking about when it's charging or when it's not moving. I'm not saying you should be able to watch YouTube videos when you're driving the
car.
But,
you know, I
we're
wouldn't
there
say
yet.
Bad thing about that.
Right now, no. Someday, yes.
I would say yes now, because it's no different than when you have those little TVs behind the driver's seat for your kids and stuff like that. That's what it's replacing. So you should be able to log on to Netflix or YouTube or whatever and have some type of media, or maybe for the passenger, because as it stands right now, my Bluetooth playing anything, music, podcast, or YouTube off my phone, there's a 2-second delay, and it drives me bonkers when I'm sitting still charging my car, and I can't watch Taylor Swift Tech or the Tesla Experience or anything else. Yeah. I can't watch it comfortably because
wait,
the delay.
You watch your Tesla. You watch your own Tesla videos inside your Tesla.
No,
that's
I was just doing a shameless plug.
Obviously,
I was just doing a shameless.
Why
plug.
Wouldn't you do that?
That's exactly what I do.
No, but I can tell you for sure that there is a delay, and even in the audio, in which I feel like it wouldn't bother me as much. But when I'm like playing an audiobook, and I want to hit skip, the reading is off by a couple seconds. So it's just an inconvenience because if say you guys were in my car and you wanted to connect your phone to the Bluetooth and you just wanted to watch YouTube and just have it play through the speakers, you can't enjoy it as a you know user, because you're going to experience the same latency as anybody else would. Mm. So people, everything I see in the forum, they're like, well, you shouldn't be watching YouTube while you're driving. I'm not. But when I have people in my car who want to relax and I'm trying to be a good host, it kind of ruins the vibe when they can't actually enjoy watching, you know, Vines or something like that. Vine compilations or something. You know, they just, you can't get the full enjoyment of it because there's a latency.
True.
And there's
true.
No reason why there should be a latency, because when I FaceTime in my car when I'm parked, there's no latency. So there is something that's actually causing it to intentionally have a delay, because phone calls and FaceTime, there's no delay.
Yeah, I was going to say that should be fixable, because I have like as basic as a car as you can get. And I have the little Bluetooth FM transmitter so that when I get in my car, it automatically, my phone pairs to the car speakers. Mm-hmm. And I've watched videos with the Bluetooth before, and there's not a delay.
Yeah.
And that's a little $9 accessory. Right. So I'm sure that there's maybe some code, or maybe it's something intentional. I don't know. But they maybe like putting up roadblocks just for the sake of, like, we don't want people watching videos.
So I would say the same roadblocks that you have that you make me have to grab the steering wheel, that's the roadblock, because I use autopilot every single day when I'm going anywhere. And when I do, I'm in my phone. But I'm in my phone in a way that's not reckless. And I am constantly keeping my eyes on the road. Because what if I'm using my phone for navigation? What if I don't like Tesla's navigation? That's my prerogative. And I will be in my phone. I have the phone on me. If I'm trying to pick the next playlist of something, I will be in my phone. And there's the issue I'm having is that there's no problem with you being in the phone. We are trained for the right reasons now. Don't be in your phone, because everything you're using is analog. You have to do it yourself. But these cars now, future, there's nothing wrong with us being in our phones. My roadblock that I have to go through is make contact with the steering wheel to show that I'm actually paying attention. And if I don't, that's on me. That's not a liability on Tesla. My insurance won't cover me if I say, yeah, I was in my phone, then I'm at fault for it. Tesla holds no liability in the event that I'm being reckless behind it. But in the sense that, going back to my first example, if I'm not the one doing it and I want my passengers to enjoy whatever they're doing on their phone, that should be an option.
True.
Yeah.
What are you going to say, Nick?
Well, I feel like it's the reason why they're limiting that is kind of just the PR side, too. You know, anytime a Volkswagen catches on fire on the freeway, it makes local 6 o'clock news, maybe. But if a Tesla catches fire on the freeway, it's like national news in the headlines for like a week.
Oh, yeah.
And
you'll hear about
it. You know, and every time someone dies in a Tesla, you know, trusting autopilot too much, you know, it's happened sadly a few times. But every time that happens, you know, it's like the entire world is looking at Tesla. And it's not Tesla's fault, because Tesla has made very clear that, you know,
I had to
pay attention.
A waiver
don't be
when
stupid.
I turned it on, saying you acknowledge, like it says on your on-screen, you acknowledge that you are assuming liability. You are not supposed to be doing it. I have to read this whole terms of service thing before I even turned it on for the first and, I guess, final time.
I feel like more YouTubers need to show that so that the general public can understand, like, this isn't something that Tesla isn't upfront about, or Tesla doesn't give you much information on, or Tesla just tells you, you don't need to drive the car anymore. Woo! You know, like, I feel like they are very proactive in making sure that it's like, autopilot does not mean that the car doesn't need you anymore, just like it does on a plane. We've had autopilot for decades. That doesn't mean we don't need pilots. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little like, it can help steer, maintain the speed, and get you pointed in the right direction, just like navigate on autopilot does.
Nope.
But it does not mean that you don't have to be there. It doesn't mean you can go to sleep or can stop paying attention. And I think they do a very good job at making that known. But people who aren't well-versed or knowledged in that subject don't realize that.
Yeah.
And they just think it's some feature that pops up and you just press start and then suddenly, yay, I don't have to drive anymore.
Yeah, but so, could you imagine the headline, though, if someone was, if Tesla allowed you to watch Netflix on the screen and, you know, the headline was, you know, woman dies in Tesla while watching Netflix, you know, because autopilot sucks. You know,
well, you signed a waiver.
Well, I understand from a legal perspective, but Tesla is not in a legal
Tesla is not
They're
the only
PR
vehicle
battle.
That gives you the autopilot, so to say. When I drove an Audi earlier this year, I had the same lane dictation that they have going on. It's not as enhanced on the screen the same way, but I drove a 2018 Audi, like A4 or A6, and it has, by design, like lane control. I forget the name, but it keeps you in the lanes, and it kind of turns itself a little bit. It won't do 90 degree turns. It won't take me to the next on ramp or off ramp the way Tesla can. But for all intents and purposes, it follows the vehicle in front of you, and if it slows down, it starts to brake. It does everything almost. It does 80% of what the full auto or the enhanced autopilot does. It won't come to a complete stop, and it won't do sharp turns like that. Just it's meant to keep you in the lanes, and then if you start to sway, it yells at you. But the same thing with these other cars, these Mercedes and Audis and BMWs. It's all software that you have to acknowledge, saying that, like, yeah, no, I'm still responsible. And so the liability is obviously immediately off of the vehicle, but the if when you want to talk about PR relations and stuff like that, you've had these features out with more of these luxury vehicles, these Lexuses and all that, way longer than the Model 3's been on the road. So this is not something that's exclusive to Tesla. And if people who start attacking Tesla for it, if that happens, it's no different than any other day of the week when they're trying to say it's not a real car company and they're never going to turn a profit. It's just it's just business as usual for those guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yep. I think overall, though, just little gripes that I have. They're little gripes. The good outweigh the bad in every single sense. The fact that I have I forgot what a gas station smells like is funny.
I cannot wait for that day.
That's great.
It's yeah. I know. I understand where I'll get my money's return on the back end years down the road. Right now, I'm still shocked I spent as much money as I did, but I understand that it's a long-term game. Tesla as a whole is a long-term company. You're not buying these vehicles so you can turn around and keep its value and sell it because now it has autopilot or blah, blah. These are expenses you're putting down to almost like you're buying a mini house in the sense of like you want to hold on to these vehicles because that's the only way you'll actually start saving money. If you're trying to turn a profit or if you're just trying to get a new vehicle every 36 months, my only negative comment about leasing is that you're not really getting your money's worth. You get the tax rebate, but that keeps dropping, and that's not enough for anything. You won't see the longevity of financial return based off of your DMV fees you have to pay, the registration, you have to pay taxes every time you get a new car. That doesn't go away. So you're already putting thousands and thousands of dollars on the vehicle each time you get a new vehicle. So if you're going to
– And you're not getting anything.
You're not getting anything new out of it. All these new cars have the same
– You're borrowing it.
Yeah,
like renting a car for $1.50 a day.
It's like
right. It's like a it's like an extended renting program.
Nah, if you're gonna buy it, I understand the vision a little bit clearer now. I want to get solar panels put on my my condo. That's the next step, and I've been looking into it. I want to expand my wattage. I understand the overall vision of completely energy independence, and this is one step closer towards that. If you are ever going to consider about getting a Tesla, don't think about the immediate, like, oh, well, I want this one to have this new visual upgrade or something. None of that matters. What matters is that if you're going to buy a car sooner rather than later, it's because you're trying to either get in on the free charging out in town that's not supercharging, that's still free tier 2 and tier 1. 3 and 4, supercharged are the ones that are level 4. Level 4 is phenomenal. They have a great network. But yeah, to pay for it now, and that's just the way it is. Batteries are going to get cheaper on the vehicle each year, and that's expected because what used to cost $10,000 to replace a Model S battery, you were now seeing, or maybe I think it's like $12,000 or $15,000. It's $8,000 now, so batteries are getting cheaper for the exact same configuration. Now, how do they make their money?
Thanks to the Gigafactory.
Yes. Now, how they make their money is they're making longer ranges. Soon we're going to see the 400,000 or 400 plus.
400,000 miles.
Oh, that'd be awesome, right? Yeah,
that would be
good. That'd be awesome. But we're gonna
charge it once. Done.
Done. Man. So, I mean, that's how it's like, it's technology. You're going to get, things are going to get cheaper, and the way they can make profits, they're going to make things better. So if you keep waiting for that right time, you're never going to get it, and you're buying the car for the wrong reasons.
There is no right time.
There'll never be a right time.
That's the other topic I wanted to talk to you guys about because I made the video on it. Luckily, that did pretty well. But there were a shocking amount of people that all flocked around Elon because he technically replied to my tweet. So that was kind of cool. I've never seen that happen.
That's cool.
He replied to a reply, but I got the notification, so it counts.
It counts.
the flock of people that just absolutely hate everything they do is mind-boggling to me. It feels like Apple all over again. You know, back when I originally just started making tech videos in the attic, it felt like everyone hated on Apple and there was no counter-arguments. There was just Apple's bad. That's the way it is. But as I slowly grew the channel, I slowly felt more like there's a community of people building up in the YouTube space and online that are just like, you know what? There's a reason they're popular, and it's not just blind sheep mentality. It's a bit more than just brand recognition. That goes into it, but there's a lot more to it than that. And now I feel like there's a huge chunk of people that are willingly having a discussion and saying, like, look, we're not saying Android and Windows are completely terrible and they suck. We're just saying there's not no reason to get a Mac and that there is reasons to get iOS and buy into that. It feels like we're going back to square one in Attic days with Tesla now, because we're seeing so many people that are like, a year ago, this costed more money. And it's like, okay, so do you want them to not lower the prices then? Did you just keep them at the same? And then, and it's so one-minded too, because they're looking at it from the perspective of a Model 3 buyer when not even considering the perspective of like a Model S buyer.
Yeah.
If you bought a Model S, you were like, okay, $70,000, $80,000 is how much it costs to get a car with the autopilot and the Tesla electric car features. Like, this is what an EV costs. And then to have the Model 3 come out and be like, oh, you're telling me if I waited a year or two, I could buy two cars for the price of my Model S that have even better hardware and more up-to-date, clean interiors? It's like, well, this is technology, you know? It develops, it gets better, it gets cheaper because they're trying to reach more people. And plus, there's like a huge audience of potential buyers that haven't bought yet that are just like, I want to buy one, but I need the price to come down. Right. So, Elon, if you want me to buy one, you got to bring down the price. So they're trying to respond to those people, but at the same time, you have this giant army who just bought theirs a year ago or 6 months ago or recently, and they're just like, oh, my resale value. But it's a car, people.
Yeah.
This isn't a stock price. This isn't a real estate investment. The cars devalue hugely the second you drive it off the lot.
Exactly.
Because no one's going to pay near retail price for a car that...
Unless you have a Model 3 for some strange reason.
Right.
People are like,
now the
for
Tesla's
sale, $47,000
right.
car for $60,000, and people buy it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what?
Right, right. Yeah, like, people don't... I don't think they're imagining this long term. Research has shown they've held their value a lot better than the average gas car, for one, just because they're new and they last well, and it's a high end demand car. But on top of that, what's the plan? Like, are you hoping to buy this thing for 2 years or 3 years and then sell it when the new model comes out? And if that's your plan, you have to realize that when the new Model 3 or an updated design version of the Model 3 drops, which I don't think will be in a while, what I mean is it's not coming soon. It's going to be a while before they do some kind of major change to the Model 3, because I believe it took 4 or 5 years before the Model S got that little front update to make it look more like the X. And the 3 has no reason to even have a design change like that. So it like a Model 3 big change or whatever is a long time away. But even if that does happen, that's going to devalue your old car far more than a price drop.
Well, even if that happens, you're back at square one, because there's going to be a new release. It's constantly being updated. So if you want to wait until the new one comes out, you're going to get the new one. And then in 6 months to a year, the new one's going to have updates that make the old new one worse. And people who buy it, you can't buy it the same way you're buying an iPhone. Like, I got the iPhone XS Max. I'm luxury. If you're doing that,
are you talking about me again, Randy? I can never
100% tell. 100%. I'm talking about this is a car. This is something that it's not an apples to apples comparison when you're talking like mobile tech and mobile tech. Can you see what I'm doing there?
It's this long term. Not when you're buying vehicles that are built to last easily 7 to 10 years. It's when versus a phone, which has to be designed within a 6 month period.
So the
Model 3 took like a decade to make to design.
I get
and perfect.
Extreme reactions with the vehicle now. I have actually gotten used to all the staring now. I have been approached.
Ooh.
I've been approached so many times. I have honestly, and I'm not exaggerating, I've lost count where people wanted to ask me questions about the car. They wanted to take photos next to the car. Somebody was doing a photo shoot at some Costco parking lot, and then they went up against my car in the background, and they were trying to act like, you know, they weren't saying it was their car, but they were implying it was their car. And they're like,
yeah, I've done that.
They're
too.
Like, hey,
I'm
are
guilty.
You cool with this? I'm like, yeah, whatever. Just, you know, don't touch it. But the reactions
I will kill you.
The reactions, it's either people really like it, or on the other spectrum, people come up to me, it's like, You're what's wrong with the economy, because now you're actually hurting the earth more. And I just like, I did not buy the car because of the battery and trying to present. I'm a tech guy through and through. If I give you facts and evidence about how even with the battery long term I'm actually helping the environment, I'm not doing it for that. I don't care about the environment. But I have people come up and like, you think you're being better than the rest of us? And it's like, why? Because I got a cool looking, decked out, nice. No, I'm doing it for me strictly because it's what I wanted. But I've got people who've actually like legitimately have cussed me out saying it's like, you ain't crap. You ain't nothing. You're not worth anything. And I'm like, okay, cool. Have a
That's how you know you have a nice. Oh, yes.
How did you know you drove by me, Randy? Like, that was totally what I did just last week.
You're not nothing.
You're nothing.
Who needs and Teslas?
People have told me they're like.
People come up to you and tell you, "Hey, you're not that cool."
Yeah.
Be like that. That shows more insecurity on their part. So, second aside, can we also just say that the accusation that they're worse for the environment has no basis?
Yeah,
there's been research done for that. I know what argument they're trying to make about lithium mining. It doesn't work. It doesn't equate to how much CO2 exhaustion a gas car makes.
It's just more efficient.
Or even if you want to talk about like, well, you're causing more power on the grid and there's a coal power plant that has to produce it. It doesn't equate. The math has been done. Anyone who says that hasn't done the research about it, aside from the environment thing. But yeah, if someone comes up to you to just tell you that you're not that cool, even if you're not making a statement.
I have a Lotus at home. People, I totally do. You're nothing.
Stared at me because I get out of my car and I am like, hang on. So just for you guys, I'm wearing shorts. Mm-hmm. And
I did not need to see that, Randy. Yeah. Put your shorts back on, please.
I'm wearing shorts and a plain green tee, and I got like tore up Vans I put on, and I go places like that, and they look at me like I don't match the description of who should be behind that wheel.
Right.
And the reactions from...
How'd you steal that car, Randy?
Yeah. So it's like if I was a darker skin complexion, I'm sure I would have gotten pulled over.
Yikes.
But it's funny because it's like they look at me and I'm getting judged for it. And I smile because some people go, nice car. And at this point, my only response is like, thank you. Or someone's like, oh, I like your car. And it's like, well, then that means it's doing its job. And then I'll walk away and, you know, people are like, ooh, what's interesting is... I'm a married man now, so I got a ring, and it doesn't stop women from like doing that smirk thing that they do. And I'm like, ladies, sorry.
What's the most common question when people are walking up
does
to you?
Does it really drive by itself?
That makes sense.
Well, I don't know. Question. I don't know how I got here. I just slept in my car
last
night.
The first question they ask is like, Is that the new Tesla? And I'm like, yeah. They're like, but it looks different. It's like I changed the exterior. Oh, I like it. It's so unique and different. Does it really drive by itself? Yep. So they're like, oh, okay, yep. Nice. Wow, I'm too scared. I went to go get Starbucks yesterday, and the girl at the window, she goes, I'm too intimidated to do it. It's like, hey, listen, this is the future. So it's okay to be intimidated, but this is where it's going. Because night and day, I can't remember how I felt before being in a Tesla now, because it's like, it's so obvious once you're in it. It's like, oh, yeah, you're supposed to just do that. All the sensors are yelling at you, saying, you know, boop, 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 stop, stop. And it just like, it'll make me stop if it sees a car brake and then it turns red on my little thing. It stops for me. So I see why it's the safest car. In every sense of the word, I understand why this is 100% the future. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just super.
Like, you would have to really try to crash that thing.
Yes, for sure.
All those poor
people.
You'd
have to go out of your way to try to get it to crash.
I have had mishaps, though. And the first one is I was pulling in. So when I first got the car, I had like a small, like a compact vehicle, a Volkswagen Jetta. And so I was used to navigating through it a lot easier with sharp turns. I turned into my driveway, but my opening to my cul-de-sac to get into our condo complex, and the back passenger tire got road rash. It scratched my curve. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Not a lot. Just a little bit. But I noticed it. Here's the problem. The sensor didn't pick up the curve. And I was like, oh, okay. So that's a thing. It picked up the curve afterwards because it realized that I went like, boom. And it just realized that happened. So then it tells me stop. I'm like, oh, did I pop a tire? I got it. I looked at it. And everything's fine. But the tire chipped. There's a chip by my rim. And
I've seen that.
And I called. And I was like, hey, is this problematic? And they're like, no, it's fine. It's the other side of the tire you want to be more careful about. I'm like, oh, okay. So that happened, and it didn't pick up on anything. The other mishap, which was completely my fault, happened this morning. I spilt coffee getting out of my car.
Oh!
And I just gave my car.
Wait, in the car or out of the car?
Both. I don't want to talk about it, but I'm going to talk about it. I just washed the car yesterday, and that's why I'm mad. Because I gave it its...
See, I don't drink coffee. I wouldn't have this.
I gave it its first bath, and just so I can understand the do's and don'ts about it, of how you're supposed to...
How do you wash a wrapped car? I don't know about that.
Yeah, so because it's all vinyl and it can peel, with the exception of what was painted on for the chrome delete, you dab. You dab over where the seam is at. Dab. I'm dabbing.
It's the most lit car out there.
Yeah. Everything else, if you're not by the seam, you just scrub it down as normal. Just don't go hard, and because you can eventually start peeling away at it. So you just want to be gentle with it. It's actually really simple. I got it done in less than an hour. And then today, I spent another hour just cleaning my door because it came out, and it just like I grabbed it by the lid, and the lid popped open as I'm stepping out. And it hit the floor outside the car, and it ricocheted. And it just got all over my door. So now my car smells like cappuccino.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Could smell worse.
That's not a bad.
It
could smell worse.
So I've been shopping for the best interior cleaner that has the best reviews because I have not wrapped the piano black center console, which I'm going to be doing soon. But I'm going to actually record that. Because everyone unanimously says to wrap the inside of the car, regardless of what you do exterior wise, because it's very scratched.
Right.
It's very prone to scratching, and I see the scratches.
And it's not that much.
It's not that much.
You can find the wraps on Amazon for like under $20.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cheap, and it'll make the car look way better. In fact, it's getting to the point that it's such a popular thing to do. I honestly think, like, the Model 3 doesn't need a lot of design changes. If there was something they had to change, though, that's what I would say is high on the list.
Yes.
Outside of the car is fine.
That's how you
maybe
know.
Maybe if you want to.
That's how you know you have a good-looking car. When literally the only revision that nitpicky Apple sheep Drew can think of is to change the material on the center console.
I'm not that nitpicky if I love the device or the product.
Oh, I forgot you're the Apple sheep.
I do agree that it's way too glossy and way too scratch prone. If they honestly, it would not take much. If they just swapped out that part of the factory instead of building in a glossy piece, instead build in a matte finish piece.
Mm.
Or one I saw is a wrap that imitates the big piece of wood that goes across the dash, and it just keeps going with the compartments there. I was like, you know what, that matches, that looks really nice. I've seen a lot of them that look good. Basically any of them look better. The carbon fiber ones look great, the matte finish ones look great. There's some that with the white interiors, they'll get a white cover for the center console.
Very
like
clean.
that looks clean. Basically they could swap it out with anything else at this point and it would probably look better.
I would like at the time of purchase for you to have an option to swap out where you dock your phone for the wireless charging.
Yes, ooh, that would be nice.
Oh, I agree. Do you think they should charge extra for that?
Yes, because I think Tesla should be able to make a profit wherever they can because they're still losing money. I would happily pay the $125 extra for it so I don't have to wait, because right now I got an email twice saying that they're back in stock, and by the time I click on the link, right when it says back in stock, it sells out again. Mm. It's completely sold out.
So you don't want to mess with the ones on Amazon?
I might get the Nomad. I'm thinking about it at this point.
They're really well reviewed.
Yeah, and it's all for it, but I'm all about you know, the if I can keep everything in brand, like in house.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a preference of mine. I like buying Apple leather cases over Amazon leather cases for my phones, just because I trust the quality of it, and it has that trust factor for it. The same reason why I'm not buying.
Does the Model 3 by default have a Lightning and USB-C plug there?
It does not. No. So it comes just when you buy it. It has the mount of it all. But I took my regular white Lightning. I plugged it in, and then I try to funnel through and zigzag, and it's some tacky finish. It's not built for it. You have to buy the Lightning and USB-C separate, and that's like what $50 or $35 or something.
Oh wow.
It's something small, but I wouldn't recommend it, only because all our phones are wireless charging now. It's honestly more convenient not to have to fiddle in there, connect it, unfiddle, and disconnect, when you could just set it, and if you want to close the lid, you close the lid, and it's up to you at that point, because where it's placed at, Face ID doesn't see my face. So I can't unlock it from
inside.
So I could just grab it, look at it, put it back instead of trying to grab it, unhook it, put it back, rehook it. It's cool if you don't have wireless charging. But honestly, where we're going with the phones, the ports are a dying thing now, and it's something that we've been talking about. It's more convenient to have wireless charging just put in there, especially since you're not using Apple CarPlay or anything like that. You don't need it. I'd rather have those ports available for when I have the Sentry mode on and I'm recording the cabin or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what you need those USB ports for. The Sentry mode stuff. Yeah. I'm going to do that like day one, as soon as I get mine. I'm because I love that you can just tap a button and instantly save the last 10 minutes of footage.
Yes.
I was like, that would be so helpful in situations when people get angry about, like, you cut me off. No, I didn't. Or things like that.
Yep.
You just have actual video proof to back up your situation. That's super helpful.
It's great that no matter whenever the autopilot starts freaking out, and I tell people, if I have somebody in the car, they get like dumbfounded. That's like, oh, the moment the wheel jerks itself, I go, okay, the last like 30 seconds was just sent to Tesla to explain on the cameras outside why did it do that, so that way they can better enhance the full self-driving when it rolls out. And they're like, wait, Tesla knows what happens? Like, they have recordings of everything. Whenever you grab the wheel really quickly and get it out, and you freak it out like that, that's sent back to Tesla. So I would like to.
Did you know the fascinating thing about autopilot I've seen someone do? You can reboot the display in autopilot and the car will keep working even when you're
in motion?
Moved on the road.
Oh, yeah.
In motion. Like, you know how you hold down both buttons if the display freezes up? It'll restart the display, but autopilot will keep working even with the screen off.
Interesting.
I saw a guy did it on YouTube, and I didn't think of that. I was like, what if you're on autopilot, and then you decide, I'm going to reboot the screen, or maybe the screen freezes. So you're like, all right, reboot the software. Hold it down. It'll keep going.
Wow. Even,
like, in the move.
That's intimidating.
While you're moving. It's like, imagine, like, how much data you get off that screen. The car is driving itself, and now the display's off. And you're just moving in this giant hunk of metal, and you're like, I saw the guy record it doing that, and I was like, it's already terrifying enough that the car is driving itself, but to turn off all the data at the same time.
Okay, God,
but
I'm ready.
It's interesting how many, it's interesting how many fail safes they have in place, you know, like the fact that the computer and the autopilot can fail, and that's a completely different system from the battery and the steering. Like that, even if the computer, like, had some crash and decided it couldn't work anymore, the car is still perfectly drivable afterwards, which a lot of people don't think about. A lot of people hear, you know, car with big fancy computer and it's battery powered. What if the system crashes? Then suddenly the car just drives straight into a tree. It's more complicated.
I have
than
yet
that.
To experience the. I have not had to reboot anything. They say it's like, oh, it happens occasionally. Nothing. It has worked flawlessly. On Wi-Fi, on LTE, when I'm having multiple things, like, I try to bug it out on purpose I want to see what it responds to, so that way I can be prepared.
You want to see its limitations,
yeah. And nothing. It just it, the fluidity of it is so phenomenal that I get it. And my favorite feature is so small. Here's my favorite feature, and only us three can appreciate it. It got an update that made the screen curved corners.
Yes.
What?
That's it. I got an iPad corners? Pro.
I thought they were.
No, they weren't always like that.
Really? I've always thought they were curved.
We're used to seeing it like that. They are. I have curved corners. And
wow.
I remember who had it? Somebody I know who
Oh, you're right. They're not curved.
They're not curved.
I've always thought they were.
That's
I never
a software
noticed that.
Update.
Oh, I love Tesla.
Turning off pixels.
Yeah,
it's a feature.
On an LCD, so
Google
does
should
nothing.
Try that with their smartphone lineup.
Just leave all the pixels on.
Yeah, it's great. I have an iPad. I have an iPad Pro, so it's like,
oh, that's
it's
great.
Comfortable.
A 15-inch iPad.
I have a 15-inch iPad, and what's crazy is that the symmetry of it, unlike the pixel whatever, the corners being curved at the bottom, right below you have your touch, like car, display, music, and all that. Right above it, it'll curve upwards as if like it you don't think about it, but I think about it because I sit and I'm watching. I'm just, you know, in awe about it. I'm like, oh my God, this is all software. That's not really how the screen is. It's a perfect rectangle that now emulates curved corners, and I love it. It's my favorite thing.
That's fascinating.
Yeah,
tiny things like
little
that.
Thing. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's a bunch of no one single thing is my favorite thing. All of it combined makes it my favorite vehicle. The way I just click the button on the on my charger and it'll open up, and I can just plug it in and it goes and it automatically locks. The way it knows to turn down music the moment I open my door, and then when I close the door, the music goes back to normal volume. It's little things that...
Whoa. I didn't even know,
I didn't
that.
Know
oh,
yeah. that either. I was going to pretend like I knew it, but since Drew admitted to not knowing about it, I'm going to not know about it too.
You open the door, whether you're going in or out, and it'll drop like half of wherever you're at, right? Wherever the volume's at right there, it will always drop to 25%.
God.
So you're not being disruptive.
That's so smart.
That's nice.
That's genius.
Little things.
I think the biggest feature I'm going to appreciate, probably because I'm in the middle of summer right now, is the fact that you'll be able to set the AC before you get in the car. Like, you can control it when you're away from the vehicle, which is great, because right now I can't control the AC in my current car whether I'm in or out of it because it doesn't work. So that's a huge improvement
for me.
Roll
the windows
down. Yeah.
My new goal is I'm trying to make iPhone my only hardware I carry with me, and I'll put like my driver's license in the back because I have not carried my key card except for when I have to go get it wrapped and I had to turn it over for them. I don't carry it with me. I use the phone for everything, and it gives me everything that I need, from VIN number, miles, last try. Yeah, all the data is right there within the app, and it's so feature rich. And the proximity of when you open up the map to see where your car is at, it's so specific, and I love everything about it that I'm now working on replacing my key, my deadbolt on my front door, to be one of the ones that I can just activate with my phone.
Oh yeah.
So my phone is the only thing I have with me because I don't carry keys anymore. They hang back, and everything's Apple Pay. So
does the Apple Watch count?
You know, I guess so, because I wasn't even thinking about it.
That's how seamless it is.
Wearables, man.
It's just integrated into your life.
If Tesla let there be an Apple Watch app and you could do it from your watch, done.
Ooh, I thought there was one. Is there not a Tesla Apple Watch app?
Hang on.
I could be wrong.
I don't see it. Now I'm about to go into the watch app to see.
Because
I don't think there is. Hang on. Anyway.
Okay.
No, I don't see it.
Huh.
So.
Well, I'm glad we finally heard your experiences with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have anything else before we talk about the very important Samsung leaked tablet?
If you want to follow out more, now that I'm kind of coming back from my hiatus, everything I talked about in full detail will be on the Tesla Experience channel. So I will be covering. I'm going to actually
Goody.
I've been recording a lot of B-roll for little things here and there to include. So things like the volume going down when I start rapping the interior. Just little things. All this stuff and just overall. A lot of people keep commenting, asking different questions. So it's becoming more like engagement-based instead of me just trying to come up with ideas. So I'm answering a lot of questions, okay. And I don't want to do it in the form of a comment. Good. I'll just make dedicated videos to demonstrate what they're asking. So
I did just think of another question for you, Randy. On Twitter, you had posted a video of you messing around with the podcast player on the Tesla.
Yeah,
were you able to find our podcast on there? Because I've started using some Tesla tags, and I don't know how that all works.
I haven't looked since that first time I was shopping for it, but they do have a dedicated subsections and stuff like that. And I would very much like Talos of Tech to be up there curated, because a lot of people, I'm actually the exception of it, but everyone I talk to who has the Model 3 or a Model S, they like using the interface that's built in for the podcast, and I just use the Apple's podcast app. But
sure,
they like using it, and they use it to find new stuff that they're listening to that's tech related, and so they. I haven't looked. I will get back to you on that, and if I see it, I'll most likely record it and put it on like Twitter or something. But it was really interesting to see that they have it there, and I was like, "Yep, new goal. So I want us to be on there."
So in order for us to get on there, we need your help with this last episode of Series 2. Please like us.
Give us 5 stars. Comment. All of the... Click that...
Help the algorithm.
Trigger
all the things.
Trigger that bell dingus.
Yeah.
And now about that iPhone camera.
Yeah.
It's not ugly.
Oh.
You're just not used to it.
Ouch.
I knew that would tick people off. It is funny, though. If you look back and think about how often Apple releases a product, everyone says it's ugly, and then it sells incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
AirPods.
Smart battery
notch,
case.
You know, Apple Watch to a certain extent.
iPad Pro originals, Apple Pencil charging method.
Apple Pencil. Yep, yep.
Yeah.
We all hate it, but then everyone buys it.
Because they think it through. Like, it's not the design you think you want. It's the design you want.
I prefer
that was deep
functionality.
Thank you.
Form.
I should have said that like Johnny Ive. It's not the design you think you want. It's Randy's the person for that. I'm sorry.
Wait, what? Say,
but
say
I agree
it again.
With you, Randy. It is functionality.
I do. Well, how did you say it, Nick?
Well, it's not the design you think you want. It's the design you want.
It's not the design that you think you want. It's the design you want. That's why I'm leaving Apple. I don't care. I told you guys, we talked about this months ago. I'm glad the rest of the world's catching up to us.
Yeah,
like
we talked about,
I'm gonna quote exactly what I said last time. I want it to work. I don't care. I'm not gonna be back there. I'd rather have 3 camera lenses that are symmetrical that give me more functionality than having it look like one full dedicated. What I need it to make the best possible videos and pictures that I can take on my phone, and however it takes to get there, I don't care. If it's not compromising any more of screen real estate on the front end, I don't care what you do to the back. Can I wirelessly charge? I'm good. That's it.
I think that's most people. We just don't hear about them because when they see these arguments online, they're just like, I don't care about how the back looks. The only people you hear from are the ones who are like extremely vocal about it.
Ew, it's gross. It has to look a certain way.
But that certain way used to be what everyone hated.
Yeah.
The camera module on the 10 was super hated when the leak first started coming out. And now that's what everyone wants. Everyone's like, go back to the 10 design. It's like, you all hated that.
I remember when they hated the they called it the Bender design with the iPhone 7. And
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
They hated that too. In fact, they've been hating iPhone since iPhone. So
what? No way.
What else is new?
They hate them all, but it hasn't changed much. You see why we talk about Tesla, Pete? There's so much more stuff to talk about. It's like, okay, in a year from now, how are our phones going to be? Well, you're going to have a little option in the camera app that says wide angle or 0.5x.
What?
And that's it. Everything else is going to be the same. Your battery life is still going to suck. It'll be slightly longer, but it still won't get you through the day. And they're going to sell battery cases to fix the problem.
There you go.
You're going to hate the battery case, but you're still going to buy one. And it's still going to have lightning as much as you whine about lightning. And I whine about lightning, too. I'm not saying I don't. But it's all the same.
It really is. There's nothing... We got lucky to cover, document, and all the everything that had to do with iPhone X, and I'm grateful for that. But realistically, until Apple or literally anybody else starts dropping more wearables or their own version of the EV
AR,
just going outside of phones, you have to, because everything is so predictable, it's stagnant, it's just different variances of it. We're only talking about software at this point. And so because the software is what's really dictating how the phone operates, we can't help but see people go like, oh, but the camera sucks. Because it's like, what else are you going to talk about? You can't talk. Why aren't we talking about how the battery is crap? It's because it's getting better over time. Why aren't we talking about the notch? Because it's 2 years old and we're tired of talking about the notch. So what can we hate on now? Ooh, I know what will sell. This camera sucks. And it's like, all right, now what? Who cares? It's more about the software. And speaking of software, I would strongly advise people don't make your primary device on beta iOS 13.
Yes.
Because I am.
We keep paying through the roof for it.
I can't do anything.
You know, a wise man once told me.
Stop it. Stop it.
A wise man once told me, stop it. this is why we call it Talos of Tech, people.
Yes.
It's more than Apple.
It's more than Apple.
But I keep seeing more patents being passed by Apple about the car. Another report I read recently was about Apple has designed their own custom suspension system for a vehicle.
It's called and Apple Air.
I gotta tell you, it's supposed to allow the suspension of the car going through bumps to kind of generate a little bit of electricity to feed back into the battery.
That's cool.
So they're calling it Air Power.
Because
they still own all of the trademarks to that, so they were going to use it for something. No, I'm kidding. I don't know what the new suspension system is. I just saw that they were passing patents for their own custom suspension system. And I got to tell you, hearing all these patents does not make me want to wait on a Tesla. It really doesn't.
No.
Hearing more about the Apple car makes me go, you're too late, guys. Mm-hmm. You're not going to make it.
I think their only chance right now is to buy a Tesla. And I would say right now they should not buy a Tesla.
I don't think Tesla would agree to it.
No, I mean, they could do a hostile takeover because they have enough money to do that. But, you know.
What's a hostile takeover?
Apple says, hey, all of you investors out there, we're going to pay you 8 times the amount that the share is actually worth. So, like, more than 51% of shareholders sell their stock at, you know, some crazy price.
Well, once they have majority vote.
Do you think most would?
No way. No,
I feel like a good chunk of Tesla shareholders would just keep it and say no, Apple.
Well, all you need is 51%.
We're different.
And
we're
Apple would just...
Think different, Apple.
Ooh. Apple would just have to offer a share price that's insanely high enough. Because right now it's what, like 350 or 250 or something? I haven't been keeping up on it.
I think anybody would be completely out of their mind if they try to take Elon off of... any development teams of sort.
Oh, no.
If they try to Steve Jobs him, that's company suicide.
That'd be harsh.
That's how you got the Newton.
Yeah, that's how you got
true.
It.
True.
You don't want to do that. And
you don't want a Tesla Newton.
No.
So
if you start letting other people in control of Tesla, that's how you're going to get like the Tesla version of a Ford Fiesta, you know, the weird looking smart car looking.
We need to make them cheaper, so we're going to make them practical, and then they make these ugly looking.
Start making them look
crappy.
Like Priuses and go against everything they ever thought about.
Yeah, they just start throwing out all of the heart behind it.
Do you think Tesla, in your guys' opinion, I'm asking in the next 5 years, do you think they'll become profitable, or do you think they'll still be
a hole? Oh, absolutely.
Nick has told me they are, but I don't.
They were profitable a few quarters ago, and they've been on and off profitable.
my sense of profitability is I'm actually referring in the sense of investment stakes, and so we're going back to basically this is my roundabout way of talking about seeing a position of where Tesla would get bought up by a giant tech corporation of sorts because of the fact of funding. Because even if you are considered profitable now, they're not in a sense of investments where these investors or stockholders are getting any type of dividend payout or anything like that. It's just the value of the company is increasing, but that always fluctuates depending on what Elon is smoking that day. So it's still volatile that way. But when you look at like just straight capital funds, the argument that, you know, like people are trying to buy them to help, you know, hey, let me help fund these projects, because Elon, he's the, you know, the visionary, but while he's working on cars, he's also talking about Neuralinks now. So it's only a matter of time.
Smooth transition. Smooth.
Oh, I'm just
I did some quick Googling just on our last topic. They did make a profit back in quarter three of 2016, and then they made a profit in quarter three of 2018 and quarter four of 2018. But they did not make a profit last quarter. So they don't have a consistent profit, but it has been done technically.
Yep.
Just not, I mean, it's not by a lot if you look at how much they're spending and how much they're profiting. They're nowhere near.
Well,
but the way I look at Tesla as a company as a whole, not just as the car, but also as the solar panels, the battery packs, the semi truck, the charge network, all of that is really just Elon in his brain, which I think is a smart brain, basically realized where the future's going. He's like, this is what the next generation standard's going to be. XYZ is going to have to happen, and I know it's going to happen because the gas cars aren't going to be able to keep up, and we're going to run out of fossil fuels, or we rely too much on gas prices, too expensive. Those are slowly going to fall out of relevancy over the next century.
Yes. Yep.
So he basically is able to take a engineers and technological mindset and see, I can see where the future is going. I'm going to try to beat everyone else to it before it's here. That way, we're the ones on top. We're the ones innovating. We're the ones changing the game.
Yeah.
And that's what he's done with Tesla, is basically that's like their grand vision, right? Is like accelerate our usage of renewable energy.
Right.
And that's their goal, is to get closer to that future as soon as possible. They knew that was coming, so that's why they're burning all this cash right now. It's a giant upfront expense. It's the whole company is one giant upfront expense for, in the future, we're going to be above everybody because we beat them to it. We're going to have the charger networks. We're going to have the batteries. We're going to have the cheaper cars with the coolest specs. We're going to have everything.
Not just those things, Drew. Like the Boring Company. Like, just think the Boring Company
that I have
is going to be
opinions on.
Well, we lump them separately because they're technically separate companies, but the Boring Company is going to make Tesla so much money. When the Boring Company opens up their first few lanes in, you know, LA and San Francisco or wherever, you're going to have
a
Tesla.
I have different opinions on the Boring Company.
Oh, no, I am I am sunk so deep in Elon stuff. Yeah,
no pun intended.
Yeah. But like the Boring
Nick,
Company,
are you
after
a little
they make
Elonite now?
I am a little Elonite. Can we talk about Neuralink now?
Well, finish your thought about what you're about
to
say before that.
Well, yeah. So I watched this YouTube channel. It's called Now You Know.
Yeah.
You can look it up. He does a pretty interesting series on the Boring Company. And while I think he's a little optimistic about how successful the Boring Company is going to be, I think that is the direction it's headed. Basically, his thesis is, the Boring Company is basically just in an awkward time right now. And as soon as they make their first publicly available, like, Boring Company tunnel, you know, between Hawthorne and wherever Elon Musk lives in LA, I don't remember, that is going to be like the cost per mile is going to be so much less than how much per mile they're going to be able to charge people. Because the number of people who would rather not sit in LA traffic is a lot. And you know, I you know, you guys go watch his videos, Now You Know. And it's interesting.
I got that confused with Watch Mojo for a second.
No.
I'm sorry.
No.
I looked it up and I was like, they're not talking about the porn.
Watch Mojo.
But anyway, I don't know. I just feel like all of Elon's companies are so interconnected, right? Like the Boring
Company.
He's
very much a futurist.
Yeah. The Boring Company is going to use Model 3 motors to push wind through its tunnels at 90 miles an hour so that there's less air resistance on the vehicles traveling in the tunnels. You know, he's going to use Tesla solar and battery chargers stations to power those wind turbines inside his tunnels. You know, he's going to be able to use Neuralink to be able to tell your Tesla where you want to go. He's going to be able to, you know, get to Mars. And like, it's all very interconnected and it's very exciting. I love Elon.
It is. Ends it with "I love it." I don't agree with everything he says.
Really,
I'll put my foot down on that. Okay. There's a lot of things that I'm not saying he's not smart, and I'm not trying to make the argument that I'm smarter than him. I just think I have a different perspective from him that he may not get because he's not everyone. You know, he's one guy. One guy can only have so much perspective. There's some things I don't believe will take off the way he's hoping, but the definite thing I do think is going to end up being profitable in the long run is Tesla, because of just how much infrastructure they're preparing for in the number of countries that are already passing legislation for when you need to stop selling gas cars and trying to get the batteries cheaper, and how many gigafactories they're opening. And 2019 is still very early in this transition process, but the fact that they're getting the Model 3 sales numbers so high and they're still able to lower the price and get it lower and lower and lower. But I think by the time that all these other car companies finally catch up, it's probably going to be too late.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be like, no, they're on top. If you want to have a good charger network, you're going to have to go through us. There's just no working around it. You're going to have to use ours. If you want to buy batteries and you want your car to be affordable, it's going to be from us. So they're positioning themselves in a place where it's like we can't lose, essentially.
Yeah, I see that. I agree with that in a way that where the car manufacturers over the last century have been very one year at a time with their next model and their next model. The 2010 Ford F-150 and the 2012. And eventually, every couple of years, almost like clockwork, they do some type of physical redesign because it's a way to spark interest again. And they don't change anything except maybe stuff inside with the interior, but nothing really changes about it. And then here comes this startup nothing that's the new kid on the block, and everyone's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And everyone's all about it. And it's very threatening because they're doing everything their own way. And while they were putting their foot, I was like, oh, this company will be bankrupt in 2 years max. I give it 2 years max.
And to be fair, they weren't wrong to doubt them. If you look at previous generation electric cars and how, you know, oil companies have handled that in the past, especially given the time Tesla wanted to start selling cars, it was in the middle of a terrible economy. The people who were doubting Tesla weren't like blind pessimistic people. They were genuine and I think correct if you looked back at history to assume that it wasn't going to work out. Something like Tesla without a history behind it, you would have seen and been like, oh yeah, we know how car companies work. We know how history presents itself. This is not going to end
well.
But
where they went wrong so was that, the like, infrastructure.
Right.
The whole
exactly.
network of supercharging, like their business was always planned to eventually charge it to be these gas station replacements. And no one else has the speed of charging the battery the way Tesla does or network the way Tesla does. That's its real business. That and its batteries, the same batteries that will harness the solar energy that when you put solar panels on your roof, it's all the same stuff.
Right,
it's all
right.
coming from Tesla. That's their business model, and what they used to be at the product out of the business model is cars. And roadsters and or battery banks and stuff like that for solar energy. That part can always change, but the real business model is the infrastructure, their network of stuff for to get other people to come use them, because I'm sure they will have at some point they'll license it out to, like, if other vehicles can be compatible. This, the same way Teslas are compatible for everything else that's non-Tesla, that's a charging station. You go there, and I have an adapter. I plug it in, and there you go. I could see it going the other way around, too, if you want to get, like, a quick charge in. Or this is where the marketing will come into play. Maybe they'll only keep the fastest charging accessible for Teslas only as an incentive. Like, oh, buy our product. Buy our batteries. So that way you maximize it.
Right. The biggest fear, I think, if I had to warn car companies out there, maybe someone's listening whose dad works for a car company or something. If you're thinking of Tesla and you're like, hey, they're picking up some traction, but you know, most people still need to buy a gas car, that's the norm and whatever. What you should be afraid of is the fact that Tesla doesn't spend much on advertising.
True.
That should scare you.
Yeah.
The reason it should scare you is because they know what their target demographic is, and they know that they're aiming themselves heavily towards millennials and the younger demographics, younger generations, and they're trusting, and they're right to trust this, that by word of mouth and by specifically a lot of YouTubers, YouTubers talking about their car, that's how they're going to get people interested in this. And you know, the millennials and are on their phones, and younger generations are not watching cable TV anymore. They're watching Netflix, and there's no ad space for you there. Other big car companies, or they're watching YouTube, and there's some car space for you there, but that's not what they're focused on. If they're watching YouTubers and creators and influencers that they enjoy all talk about why they love their Tesla and they want a Tesla, that marketing, that advertising is ultimately going to be bigger. And take me as an example. I'm not a car guy. Before Tesla stepped into the situation, my intention for most of my life was my car was going to be, you know, a cheap used 5 to 6 year old car that I can get for under $4,000. And that's the maximum I would ever want to spend on a vehicle. As long as it works, plays music, and has four wheels, that's fine for me. And now all those big car companies need to understand they're missing out on demographics like mine who don't care about fancy cars or new cars. If it wasn't for Tesla, I would not be interested in buying a new car right now. And yet I'm saving up money. I'm getting prepared to buy the biggest, expensivest thing I've ever purchased simply because of how Tesla has designed their cars and how they've marketed them as not like, we don't need to put this on Super Bowl, you know, we don't need to put this on cable TV. It will spread via word of mouth and via creators, which is where you get to the young generations, which are eventually going to be everybody when they grow up. And once you do that, I mean, it's like the smartphones, you know, those appeal to the younger generations at first and people start texting, and then eventually it starts taking over and now everybody has it. But that's where it starts, is when you get them while they're young. Basically, you got those generations early. Once they start adapting to the tech, then it carries out to everybody else. So that's what I think big car dealers right now should be afraid of, is the fact that there's a ton of people like me that have never spent this much money on a vehicle before, but we're willing to now because of the tech that's inside it and the way they're designing it in a way that's appealing to the younger demographics. So you're missing out, is what I'm trying to say. You guys are missing out on a huge market that made the Model 3, I think it was the best-selling car by revenue last year, which is a good demographic to have, especially from a business perspective.
Definitely.
We made more money than all of y'all.
Yeah. By like a lot.
Right. For sure.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. Good point. That is why so? You are the creator here. You have all the ideas.
Pixel sucks.
And
Air Power's
Marquez, hit us up. We know you're listening to
he
this.
He needs to make more Tesla videos. Yeah. I wish he would.
Marquez.
He hit 50,000 miles on his Model S.
Really?
And he's made very little videos about it.
Do you think he's not happy?
I wish he could talk more about it.
No.
I bet it's mild. Marquez is usually pretty fair with stuff like that. He's like, I like it. It's my favorite car, but here's all the problems I have with it. Yep. You know, he's good at being fair, usually.
Yep.
It's not a Google product, so we don't have to worry about any bias in the country.
Do you think Marquez, do you think he's going to buy his next one or keep leasing?
If I were him, I would buy.
Yeah.
That's a good question, though.
You know,
well,
who can answer that?
He's getting
Marquez,
the Roadster, right?
Come on the show.
I thought he was getting the Roadster. I think that's going to take longer, though, because his lease is coming up. He said, I think his lease ends in December this year, and the Roadster's not going to be ready, so he's going to have to do something.
He's going to switch. He's going to downsize to the Model 3 Performance, and he's going to buy it, and he's...
That's his budget car, you know.
And he's just going to hold on to that until, you know, Roadster comes out.
Mm-hmm.
That's my projection.
Should I make a video on the Roadster?
Yes.
I feel like everyone will hate me when I do
it. Well, that depends on what you want to talk about with the Roadster.
Well, it doesn't matter what you make your video about. I always hate your videos. You see that one thumbs down on all your videos? That's me.
I think... I'm just going to complain about it, and then everyone's going to say, well, Drew, it's a sports car. It's not supposed to do any of those things.
I would say the Roadster is the most compelling sports car because everything it's competing with how fast it can get to 0 to 60, you know, those are costing millions of dollars, and this is $250,000. So if you're trying to be in the market of having a sports car that's a coupe, a two-seater that goes from 0 to a million in 3 seconds, then, yeah. Spend $250,000 over $4 million, and you get the same stuff. And plus, it gets updates over the air and everything else that stays within the Tesla ecosystem. So, if that's your type of thing, get the Roadster because $250,000 or millions of dollars—it feels no brainer to me.
I just hate it as a car. As a sports car, it's great. I'm fine with for the people who are filming TV shows and doing speed tests. I see the Roadster like I see 5G. It's like you're not going to notice unless you're doing a speed test. Hmm. That's the only time it's going to become noticeable. But aside from that, like the display annoys me. The interior annoys me. The one cup holder annoys me.
It's a prototype. Prototype. Remember how in the Model 3
they showed the Model
3. Like,
yeah, but the
interiors
were mostly the same.
And...
To
know,
be honest, no, I don't remember
the metal
how it's introduced then. I don't remember that.
I know that the Model 3, when they first introduced it, was not the same as the Model 3 when it was mass-produced, but it was not that drastically different. Like, the display was the same size.
They didn't have a glass
roof.
The
interior had
the
same...
The glass roof was only available on the most expensive models at release. Yeah.
But the things I'm complaining about are things that... most likely won't be changed, like the display.
I think that's the first thing that they'll be upgrading. I think they'll get a near... I think it'll be the same orientation and same shape. It'll just won't have any bezels. Or the bezels will be
still,
iPad Pro bezels.
Still not good. I still think it's a bad display.
Oh, I love the Roadster. So I think you're looking at it from a way too practical sense. You're like, this Roadster doesn't make any sense as a car. How am I going to fit my three kids in the back with my dog? Like, that's not what it's for.
No, I don't. I would never have a dog or three kids.
Well, fine.
Just saying, even as a married man with no animals or kids, I just think it's a very unpractical car aside from the
range. That's the point of it, though.
The range is great.
It's supposed to be unpractical.
I know.
It's supposed
that's
to turn on.
Today you're making a video.
Make a video about it.
See, I know I'm going to get all the Nick and Sweeney's on my back if I complain about the Roadster.
That's part of the secret sauce.
Because I don't talk about any other sports cars. I mean, people were already... kind of angry that I was talking about cars in general.
Show the
so
people
if I
you're
went
not
to the sports
a blind
car department,
Tesla sheep. Make it. Get them.
That's okay. That's essentially all the purpose.
No, because you'll stir up controversy.
Tesla can make something I don't like.
You'll stir up controversy, and then you'll draw traffic to the video, and you're basically replicating what you did with Apple for Tesla. Make the video, Drew.
Perfect.
We could make a really funny thumbnail that's like, why I'm not buying the Roadster. And it has nothing to do with the cost. It's just all about
the Roadster sucks, and it's your fault.
Elon, I would have bought the Roadster if it came with more than one cup holder.
Some people got that, Randy.
I'm glad you got it, Drew.
Yeah, that would be my IE example for like, oh, you just love everything Tesla does. It'll be like, not the Roadster.
That's what I'm saying.
That I'll just go to that right away. I'll be like, I don't care about the what's more annoying about the Roadster was the referral program.
Yeah, they were a bit too generous.
Was giving out Roadsters. That was way too generous. That should give you a discount on a Roadster, not a free Roadster.
Yeah.
Massive discount, but not 100%. That was too far. Way too far.
Yeah, you should definitely make a video about it, because this would be fun just to see how Nick responds to it.
It's okay, Elon. I still love you, Elon. I'm still going to defend you, even against Drew.
I'm sure.
I'm just like, Marquez said he's like trading in his Model S so that he can get a Roadster, and I personally think that's a bad idea. I honestly do. Like, I think he's going to not like that because of how difficult it'll be to like haul equipment.
I'm gonna have to send you this video. I don't even remember what kind of car it was, but it was like some Ferrari FF or something, like a sports, like a typical Italian sports car. And some guy was talking about how it is as like a daily driver, and he says, "Yes, it's annoying that you can't stand up and sit down, and you can't get a lot of groceries and blah blah blah." But he says the fun of it comes from doing a burnout at a stoplight or revving the engine
at
a stop sign. Well, you don't, but this guy does, and that sounds cool.
No, but I'm not that guy.
Every single time I go from 0 to 60 by going from chill mode to standard mode, and I punch it. Every single time I do that, I lose 1% of battery. Every single time.
Oh, really?
It's so bad on my battery that when I put it in sports mode for steering wheel and standard for acceleration, when I start driving like a loony guy, I lose 5%.
So like normal
from,
Randy?
Yeah, basically when I show my real self, I'm down 5% going – I lose like 1% a mile, if that, maybe even more, because every time I punch it, I lose a percent just right off the bat. And I look at the performance, I look at the stats on it, and it just hurts. It drains the battery to do it. It's fun, don't get me wrong. I don't get tired of doing it, but practicality, burning out at a stoplight just so I can punch it and go, it's like I won't make it home by that time because the battery will die.
You don't need to make it home.
I'm like the one guy that at the Roadster unveiling was more excited for the semi truck. I thought that was the cooler part of the event when they were showcasing like this giant truck and how it backs up and how the inside looks. I honestly think the semi truck interior is significantly better than the Roadster interior because there are two displays.
Take that, Anthony.
You can have four cups.
Oh, four cups. Is this really all about
saying
I'm going to go to Starbucks and get you one of those cup holder things, and I will tape it inside of your Roadster with duct tape.
The funny thing is my wife likes the Roadster. She prefers that to all
Louise
other Teslas.
Louise and I actually agree on something. This is amazing.
Wait, I thought you guys agreed on things before.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
We do.
I'm just saying if money wasn't a factor, I would rather drive the semi-truck.
I don't blame you.
Interesting.
I would put Discord on one and Twitter on the other. And then
you're just up there for the two screens. I see.
Exactly. Imagine a car with two giant screens. Isn't that awesome?
The Model S and Model X.
No, those aren't big screens. That's a little dashboard screen. Okay. There's nothing behind the steering wheel on the semi-truck.
Yeah, that is true.
It's two Model 3 displays.
Yeah, no, I've seen
and
it.
My
I've
ideal...
Seen.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You went up to it.
I've stuck my nose in there. Yep, I know. It smells good.
My ideal interior would just be get rid of that steering wheel, and then I sit in front of this giant vehicle that's driving itself, and I just have two monitors because I'm used to having three. Right now I have three. So if I just had a vehicle that I could, you know, look around.
Get like one of those grandpa recliners.
Screens. Oh, yeah. Or the PewDiePie chair,
ooh,
which I'm sitting in currently.
Very comfortable.
Non-sponsored.
I think that's far better than the Roadster,
yep,
personally. Plus
so,
the door handles.
Drew, would you rather have a Roadster or that new Mac Pro?
Oh.
Oh. Well, that's obvious, I think. Clearly the Mac Pro, because it comes with wheels. So.
Really?
No.
Okay.
No. Okay, good. Anytime someone asks me that, I say the more expensive thing, because then I can sell that.
Okay, good.
Thing.
I was like,
trade it for cash.
I don't know who would be in the market of buying a used Roadster. if they can't afford a $250,000 up front and like, hey, I'm buying it, I'm selling for $100,000. Like,
so I'm looking for a sports car. I don't have $200,000, but I do have $150,000. So, you know, I could make it work.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the insurance on that thing?
That'd be sad.
Ugh.
No, what you do is you just return it after 7 days or before 7 days.
Do they support that on the Roadster?
I don't know. They probably do.
No.
That'd be interesting.
There's no way they do. Too many people would use it. They'd be like full refund. Hell yeah, I'll just drive that thing for a day. We'll call it good.
Take it to prom.
Florida a couple times.
After the first day, trying being reckless with it.
Pull like a Doctor Strange.
Good luck finding a place you can go 0 to 60 in 2 seconds.
The on-ramp?
Good luck.
A what?
The on-ramp?
People stare at me funny when I floor it like that, because I will be getting on an on-ramp, and I will take off sometimes just to flex.
With your arms crossed, looking out the side window, not touching the wheel.
It's more like this. I'll be like this.
On your phone.
Yeah, I'm just on my phone the whole time.
They gotta make a mode called Drag Race where it monitors the car next to you, so it'll just floor it automatically.
That's funny.
As soon as they start moving.
Yes.
That'd be great.
Did you guys see the changes to the S and X as well?
Yeah. What is
they got
their
rid of
new
standard range?
Yeah. Yeah. So, lots of questions about this.
So they lowered the price of the long-range models of both the S and X by $5,000.
Got rid of Ludicrous.
So the starting price for the S and X is still technically higher because standard range has been eliminated, but you can get the longer-range models for $5,000 cheaper than you could before.
Yep.
And then they also, the performance models got slightly more expensive. The performance models are $4,000 extra for the Model S and $3,000 extra for the X. However, they now include Ludicrous mode. It's not an extra add-on.
Ladies and gentlemen,
like an extra...
he was not looking at a teleprompter when he said that. Drew has committed to memory.
I did a video on it, but yes, that shows my interest in the changes. It was. It used to be a $20,000 add-on just for software.
Yep.
As a piece of software was $20,000, like code that says "make car fast."
That tells you that
$20,000.
They're not moving inventory quick enough. Then, if
I think it's because they know the S and X are not the future. They're here for now, but they're probably trying to simplify the production line as much as possible. So they're like, okay, let's get rid of the standards. Let's not try to overhype the Ludicrous anymore, because you're right, they're not pushing inventory. So just make it simple. So now there's only two. There's like long range performance.
Yeah.
That's it.
And actually, we're talking about this before the show. I ran across this guy who's done a couple videos about how he lives in his Model X. And that got me thinking.
Oh, no.
House? Goodness. No need.
Oh, no.
Nice warm apartment? No need.
Oh, no.
Tesla Model X? Great need.
Well, I'm not doing it, so I said go for it.
Okay, cool.
Listen.
Well, I was looking at it, though, and I'm like, well, you could get a nice Model X for, you know, $1,300 a month or something with a nice loan, good down payment or whatever. And, like, that's, like, about what you'd spend on it on rent. Like, you know, it's comparable at least. And if you're going to live out of it, then, like, I don't know. It sounds like
$1,300 is a great mortgage price.
No,
yeah.
On something that will appreciate.
But you can have a Model X, guys. Come on. No.
It was
a fleeting thought.
You would hate that car so quick if you were in it 24/7.
But Randy, I'd be so minimal. I'd only have one of everything.
Just get a tiny house.
Yeah,
it is a tiny
house.
Trailer. It's called Model X.
Oh no!
Where do you charge it?
You charge it at RV places. You like go to RV places like with showers and bathrooms and stuff, and then you just plug it into the RV socket, which is like a 240.
So it's basically like living in a tiny, crappy RV.
That's exactly.
for
with no toilet.
Right. That's the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You know, when I heard about all these big YouTubers who have been leasing their S and X, and I know what configuration they got, I plug it in on the website, and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. That's
so much money down the drain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When you lease it, like especially the like maxed out Model S and X some guys were leasing, and I look at the monthly cost, I'm like, oh my God, they don't get any of that back. I get that they make a lot more because they're big YouTubers, but still, even from their perspective, I just see that as such a waste.
It is.
But it's their choice. That's fine, I guess, but it hurts to look at.
I feel like people who just go blindly maxing out everything on a car and they're leasing it have no respect for money. Like, at least buy it. Those are the people who are gonna 100% like lease the Roadster and just to say,
oh God, what is that like? Man, this is an amazing car. And then Tesla's like,
$20,000 a month.
Yeah. I mean, Tesla probably loves it when people lease their cars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're like, we get so much out of this.
Yeah.
By the end of your lease, we get 80 grand and a car. What a sweet deal for us. It's an insane deal.
Yep.
Crazy.
Especially the Roadster. What are they going to do with a 3-year-old used Roadster?
Give Nothing. It to me.
Send it to space.
Yes. Give it. They send all of them to space.
Put a man in it. Just send it up there with space. Launch it. That's all you can do.
Oh, I just remembered. Last question, because we're running out of time here. For Randy, Elon announced that they are increasing the price of full self-driving by $1,000 on August 16th, which basically means the price of my dream car hasn't changed because they took off a grand and now they're adding a grand. So I'm like, well, okay. But do you plan on making that in-app purchase or whatever? It's the digital purchase before August 16th?
Yes. I am going to buy really, really, really soon. Like really, really soon.
August 15th.
No. Like
11 o'clock p.m. Like,
maybe by the time this episode goes out, I might have already bought it.
Ooh,
sweet.
Maybe.
You should also document that because I want to know what it's like to go on the Tesla screen and be like, bye.
That's what I'm gonna do it straight from the Tesla screen just to, because I know I have to go onto my account. Because I went all the way up to the checkout process of just using Apple Pay. I was like, this is too easy. I feel like I shouldn't be able to spend this much money so easily. But you have to log on to your Tesla account and then go to your vehicle and then software updates, and you get to do add-ons and stuff like that.
Download some RAM.
And push. And something like that, I think if you buy it, I don't think you have to be connected to Wi-Fi necessarily. Even though I have the LTE version, I think that's something that they'll just push over the air regardless, because it's a feature that you buy. Little updates otherwise, because I've been prompted for an update when I wasn't home. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, since I'm coming to a stop anyway, and then I just parked it. I was over like at a friend's house. I updated it from there. Mm-hmm. But then other times when I connect to Wi-Fi, it'll tell me to update. But I think this is one of those ones that, because it's like a modification to your actual vehicle and you can't downgrade from it, they're going to just push it whenever, I guess, that night or whatever. I don't know how they're going to do it. So, yeah, I'm going to document that. I plan on buying
Please do.
Really, really soon, because I allotted for the budget. I have the money for it. I always planned on getting it, but if I can get some cash back on my credit card for it, then more power to it, you know? So,
yeah, does it support Apple Pay?
It does. That much I do know, because everything when it comes to just making purchases for the vehicle, you can just put it on your credit card. It's encouraged to put it on your credit card off the record. They're like, oh, yeah, just put it on your credit card. Get some points. Get some money out of it. Like, oh, okay. Yeah, sure. All right. So.
If you bought the full self-driving with the unreleased Apple card, you'd get an instant $200 back.
Immediately. No. I would get, 2%. No, what's the percentage for if I put on the Apple card? It'd be 5%. No, it'd be 3%. What is it? 3% or 2%?
Oh, it's 2%.
My bad. So 2%. 2% of 6,000 is 3.
I was doing 7,000, but
3. Well, no, because right now it's
120.
It's 120. 120. No, 6,000 plus 2%. Yeah, it is 120. Shame on me. Yeah, 120. That's how much money I get back for it. So I get a 2% discount.
That pays for your wireless charger.
It does. Oh.
Points.
Yeah, I'm going to...
Let the record show we have lost Nick.
I think I'm going to... Oh, now I can see Nick. Hey, there's Nick.
Drew just appeared for like the last 2 minutes.
Oh.
You so disappeared.
You've been gone this whole time. I couldn't see you.
Oh, okay. Well, I could see Randy, but I didn't know what Drew was doing.
I can see both of you.
I was really hoping it was going to work. Sweet. But
I'm going to buy it just because it was always in my budget to pay $6,000 for it, so I'm not going to pass up on that. Yeah.
Sweet.
Cool.
Well, we're very happy for you, and I think we've reached the end now, so if there's any closing thoughts, now's the time.
Air Power's dead.
And Mark has come on the show.
Pixel sucks.
That's our normal outro. Well, we're going to be gone for a little bit, people.
Thank you for tuning in for Series wary. 2. Look forward to Series 3 coming this fall.
Series 3 will series come 3. Back better than
and
ever.
And the album art should be the exact same as before, except there's a red dot in the corner.
Ooh.
Like the Series 3
ooh.
Apple Watch.
But an obnoxious red dot, not a nice red circle. This is...
Someone will get no series four
will
is the red
come
circle.
Back with theme
Avengers.
Theme music this time.
Ooh, are you holding yourself to this, Randy?
That's why
ooh.
I said it out loud. I said it out loud, so I have ooh. To do it now.
Ooh, I'm excited
okay,
now.
The pressure's on. We cannot continue until the music's
okay. Okay, well then, in alrighty. That case, we won't see anyone until early 2021. See you later, guys.
Also, Project Stardust will be unveiled
yes,
by the time we
I'm
come back.
I'm excited to
so
see Project Stardust.
A lot of changes.
Changes are a coming. Project Stardust.
So
Nick and I get full salaries, and now we're part. I'm just kidding. We can afford our roadsters.
Yes. I wish all three of us are getting roadsters. No, that'd be cool though. All right. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you all later. Bye bye.